And welcome to the Climate Minute, your source for insight and perspective on global warming news. My name is Ted McIntyre. Well, everyone's thought about recycling this and recycling that. One of the things that's coming to the forefront is recycling of electric vehicle batteries. Why is that important? Well, let's rewind. We expect over the next several decades, the demand for batteries of all sorts, but the biggest example is car batteries. The demand for those batteries to skyrocket. The major technology for making batteries nowadays involves lithium, among other unusual metals, right? But we'll just focus on lithium for the time being. You need a lot of lithium. And so all of a sudden, it becomes attractive to start thinking about. But the other important thing to know here is that mining lithium, old-fashioned dig it out of the dirt kind of operation of getting lithium, is environmentally damaging. So there's a high premium on doing some recycling. And we need to begin to think about, at this moment when the battery industry is just starting to grow, now is a good time for us to begin to think about putting in place practices so that we can recapture some of that lithium in order to reduce basically our footprint on the earth, right? To go to that level of discussion. Since I don't know much about this, I am very happy to be joined by Benjamin Hitchcock Osiello, who works at Earthworks, an organization called Earthworks, and where he is the, oh my goodness, Benjamin, remind me. Tell me your title. Your title is
the Making Clean Energy Clean, Just, and Equitable Coordinator.
Perfect. You are doing the right thing. So Benjamin, thank you for joining. Great to have you with us to talk about this topic. I sort of hinted at the idea that we need to start thinking about recycling the lithium out of the hardware that we build, in particular batteries. And I believe you've looked into this topic. So tell me, did I get the story right to begin with? And flesh it out for me. What should people know about the stakes here?
Yeah, absolutely, Ted. Thank you so much. Great to be here. So our organization just recently published a report that we ourselves didn't author. We commissioned it from a group of researchers at the University of Technology, Sydney's Institute for Sustainable Futures. So the credit goes to them. But the reason that we commissioned this report out to them was to try to address this question that you just asked, which is how can we, given the fact that lithium mining, cobalt mining, nickel mining for electric vehicle batteries is incredibly damaging to ecosystems and communities, what are the ways that we can reduce that pressure on these ecosystems and communities? Is there a way that we can try to offset some of that increased demand that's being projected over the next few decades? And we believe that there's a couple, essentially two main strategies to help reduce that demand. One of them is probably the more complicated and challenging one, and it's one that we haven't come up with any robust research about yet, and that's about reducing private car ownership. It's about, rethinking the transportation model, particularly in countries like the United States, where there's such a heavy reliance on cars, and it's very common in this country to have, multiple cars per family, and where public transportation infrastructure is in many places non-existent or crumbling or insufficient to meet people's needs.
Benjamin, I think it's an interesting discussion because I think a lot of people carry around in their head the idea that they're going to trade in their gas guzzler and get an electric vehicle, and then they're just life's going to go on as usual. And what it leads to is, here in Boston, there's a big argument right now about rebuilding the Mass Pike. How many lanes should be on the Mass Pike, right? So the decision we make today is going to be running in 2040. And the question is whether or not we expect in the year 2040 the Mass Pike to be jammed with electric vehicles or not, right? Is that the quality of life we want to be building, or should we be thinking about public transportation so that you, so that everybody doesn't absolutely have to have a car to get around. So, I mean, I think that people say, oh, you know, less car ownership, everyone's hair stands up straight. But it's not that unreasonable discussion, especially coming out of the pandemic. I mean, people are looking for, they don't necessarily want to go back to the way things were. Is that, would you find that a fair statement?
Absolutely, Ted. And I think there's also, I mean, there's so many arguments to be made for, you know, moving away from private car ownership. I mean, there's social reasons, there's, you know, stress, there's, you know, of course, there's huge environmental benefits in on the energy consumption side, but also on the issue that we're discussing, which is about the battery metals and the metal intensity. There's also really important social questions about equity and affordability. And when you have affordable public transportation systems, you also can help address all sorts of issues around marginalization and segregation and, you know, access to jobs and healthcare and education and everything else that comes along with the ability to get around.
And the connection, though, is that if there are less demand for electric vehicles, there's less demand for lithium. If there's less demand for lithium, we don't do so much damage in the extraction of the lithium, right? That's the chain of things that you end up talking about, you know, everyone using Uber instead of having their own car kind of thing, right? So you guys are thinking about beginning to ask the question, right? Do we all need a big, large electric battery that can go 800 miles on a charge and all the lithium that it takes, right?
Right, exactly. I mean, that's the question we're asking because, you know, as an organization that works on mining, you know, we work on mining and oil and gas as well. We do work on fossil fuels, but we also work, you know, the team I'm on works on mining specifically. You know, as an organization that works on mining impacts, you know, our concern is how to reduce those impacts exactly. And so less cars on the road means less pressure on ecosystems and communities around the world when it comes down to it. So that is something that we absolutely believe is a positive and necessary step. Although unfortunately it is difficult to model that sort of future. And, you know, our report doesn't go into detail about the potential for that offset, but that is absolutely something we believe in, and it is discussed in the report to some extent. But
if I just interject, we had a show on a few weeks ago where we talked about what would be the best way to spend part of the $2 trillion stimulus package. Mm. And the answer came back that the best thing that you could possibly do would be to paint bus lanes on I-93 and I-95 going into Boston and have dedicated bus lanes that carried people every 10 minutes from Boston to Worcester and Springfield, right? But you could do that today. So, I mean, I think there are other answers outside of necessarily what you may have been able to propose in your report, because this is a big sprawling topic to talk
about.
Reducing car owner. I mean, there's mammoth things, but so that was one of them. You were going to go on to the other second topic you discussed.
Absolutely. And so, yeah, the second topic, which is the key topic of this report, is really about recycling. The potential for increased recycling of, in this case, lithium, cobalt, nickel, and copper, the four metals that are examined. The increased potential for, the increased efficiency of recycling of these metals, and recovery of these metals, to offset future demand. And what the report found essentially is that anywhere between 25% and 55% of the projected demand for the next 20 years for these metals in the electric vehicle supply chain could be offset through recycling, depending on the metal that's analyzed. So
let me restate that. I think that's an incredibly important point. You're saying that over the next 20 years or so, if we were serious about recycling, we could basically take advantage of recycled lithium to accommodate 25 to 45% of the demand that we would have for this stuff, right? That's enormous.
Well, for lithium specifically, it's about 25%. It's on the lower end. For copper, it's around 55%. And then for cobalt, nickel, it's around 35%. So there's different models based on the different availabilities of those metals in different end markets. And so for lithium, it's on the lower end. But still 25% means still a lot of lithium. And it's a lot of lithium mining that could be avoided entirely through optimizing recovery and recycling of metals.
And so I guess I think in your report it said that currently lithium is recycled at about 1% rate. Yeah. And so all those lithium, I mean, I feel guilty because we keep accumulating AA lithium ion batteries and we try and recycle them and they say, no, just throw them in the trash. We don't even, really? So there's a very low recycling rate. But I think that I think your report, correct me if I'm wrong, points out that we're at kind of a threshold, a pivot point now with as far as the use of lithium goes in batteries, especially with automobiles, that we have the opportunity to shape what's going to happen, right? Is that fair?
Absolutely, absolutely. And the reason that the recovery rate is so incredibly low for lithium is that lithium recycling methods essentially what happens in the battery recycling processes that you see today for the most part, with the exception of a couple that do target lithium as well, is that they go for the highest value metals. So it's normally cobalt and nickel. Cobalt and nickel are relatively high value metals. And so recycling processes have been developed and these recycling chains have been developed to maximize profit, right? They're not designed to maximize environmental benefit. And so what we need to do is, from Earthworks' perspective, what we need to do is create the policy infrastructure, the policy incentives, the regulatory frameworks that promote or require, ideally, optimal recovery and recycling rates for these battery metals, given how incredibly important it is from an environmental and from a human rights and social perspective to offset this demand. We also, believe that as these technologies, there are quite a few emerging technologies that are very efficient at recovering lithium up to about 95% efficiency. Mm-hmm. And as these technologies are being developed and rolled out, if they get, policy support and incentives, or if there is requirements, such as what's referred to as extended producer responsibility, which essentially requires the manufacturer or distributor of a product, in this case, an electric car battery, once they put it on the market, they have to be responsible for what happens at the end of its useful life. They have to have a plan to take it back and do something with it. They have to have a plan to recycle it. Right. And so, with those sorts of policies, some of which exist, partially already in Europe, but are being developed in a newly proposed regulatory framework specifically about batteries in the European Union, is an incredibly comprehensive proposed legislation. Documents about 130 pages long and has extensive annexes. And covers the whole life cycle of batteries, including things like the carbon footprint of the battery, the human rights impacts of mining for batteries, and of course these key questions around how do you recover and recycle the metals, and what should be the appropriate targets and thresholds for efficiency and recycling.
I think it's very interesting that you mentioned this. So you mentioned there's a proposal in the European Union to sort of formalize how to manage, and let's just say car batteries, because I think that's what they're targeting. And I've got the report in front of you, so this is not a quiz, but it's very interesting. It's very specific. It talks about, there have to be methods for collecting the batteries, right? Something as simple as that doesn't exist, right? How does every car dealership, or each manufacturer get that battery back, right? How do they transport them? How do they rate the batteries? In other words, they look at a battery and say, how dead is it? How much life is in it? Right? There have to be industry-wide standards to rank those things if you want to kickstart some way of recycling. Right? Isn't that the kind of thing that this proposed regulation would address, right?
Absolutely, exactly. And I mean, right now it's essentially left up to the industry to decide how to manage those processes. And there are, electric car companies, automakers who do have end of life plans for their mm-hmm. batteries and are doing battery recovery and recycling. But it's not standardized, and the requirements in terms of, recovery and recycling efficiency rates are not, regulated. So essentially it all gets left to market dynamics, right? It all gets left to what's the most profitable thing to do with the battery at the end of its life. And if that means just taking out the cobalt, nickel, and dumping the rest, well, that's what they do.
Right. So I mean, there were so many interesting things in the report. I mean, I was struck by the idea that one of the most important ways to conserve lithium and prevent additional virgin lithium mining was to find second uses for these batteries, and that the batteries were being designed to have a 20-year lifetime, but the car is only going to last 8 or 10 years at most, right, before it rusts out. And so you've got 10 years of life on this battery. What are you going to do with it, right? Have you been through that scenario?
Absolutely. So yeah, there's a whole discussion about secondary use and recycling and what sort of the appropriate projected lifespan of a battery. And the reason that electric vehicle car batteries are sort of ideal for second use is that because of the demands and the needs of an electric vehicle driver in terms of range, in terms of the charging capacity of their batteries. Once that battery capacity has been depleted to a certain degree, those batteries are no longer ideal for use in a vehicle, but mm-hmm. they can still be used for stationary storage. So for example, for solar, or wind generation.
Because right now, MCAN is talking about battery energy storage systems for a variety of reasons, right? But the idea would be to have, instead of that, you could use these sort of batteries from cars where the car is gone, rusted out, but the battery still has some effective life. You essentially use that to store wind energy and dump it back on the grid when you need it, sort of like a peaker plant, as they call it, right? So that's one of the applications you can imagine for these batteries, right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
Interesting.
But regardless, at the end of that life, they still, at the end of their second life,
right?
We still come back to the same question, right? About what is to be done with those batteries and the metals inside them, and so the same issues sort of still remain. But it's absolutely true that second life use is a very important part of this puzzle.
Mm-hmm. So did you make any comments? I mean, I come out of an engineering background, so I'm saying, thinking that, we're at this beginning of a phase where you're going to make millions and millions of electric vehicle batteries. Wouldn't it be nice if they were all somehow standardized? And at the beginning, we design them with the idea that at the end of life, in 20 years or so, they were going to be disassembled and reused. I mean, are there ways that you can design the recyclability into the battery so that, let's see, if you bought a car this year, it would be 2041 when the battery is going to get taken apart, right? Is that a worthwhile thing to pursue?
Yes, absolutely. So design for disassembly, design for recycling is really key. Mm-hmm. Part of the issue as well is that, a lot of recycling processes are designed to recycle certain batteries from certain companies, right? And so there's a sort of a lack of standardization in the industry. And so different electric vehicle producers are buying different batteries or producing different batteries with different different designs. And that also makes the recycling process a bit challenging. So the lack of standardization and the lack of design with recycling in mind and disassembly in mind is something that absolutely needs to be addressed. But that is something that's being worked on. I mean, that is an issue that companies are aware of. But again, regulatory efforts in that sense would be necessary to help optimize.
I think one of the big messages that comes through from your report, at least to me, is that it is very important, and I will say it, that the federal government step in and set some standards. Yes. And either make incentives for businesses to do this on their own or to force them through some kind of regulation to follow this path of making these special materials recyclable, right? You got to start thinking about it now. And it's unlikely, as long as the lithium's cheap, it's unlikely that the corporations are going to do it on their own. I'm thinking, Tesla, GM, all these companies. They may want to brand themselves as green, but now is the time to think about it. Is that fair?
Yes, absolutely. Yes, we know it's absolutely key that there is policy intervention to make this happen, happen in the best way possible. Because right now the theme is being disposed of and is not being recovered. And that is part of what is, you know, contributing to this rapid expansion of lithium mining around the world.
Do you know if there are any efforts on the part of the automobile industry to get ahead of the issue? As I think, again, you think of a company like GM, they don't want to find out in 5 years that all of the lithium in their electric vehicle batteries is unsustainably, you know, that they're not environmentally sound. The corporate brand wouldn't want to take that kind of a hit. Do you know if people are worried about that, or is anybody doing it? Are any of these corporations thinking about that?
Absolutely. I mean, electric vehicle car companies are incredibly sensitive to bad PR and bad press. We've seen this in discussions, for example, about cobalt mining, which are, you know, very complicated discussions about the human rights, you know, impacts of cobalt mining, particularly in the Democratic Republic of the Congo. And just important note on that point that, you know, there are organizations and artisanal miners and mining affected communities in the DRC who are proposing their own solutions, right, in terms of how to address those human rights impacts and how to address the impacts of industrial mining as well, not just artisanal mining. So it's important to also remember, you know, the voices and perspectives of the people who are most impacted, because oftentimes when we read about cobalt mining in the press, you get these snippets about, you know, child labor and exploitation, which of course is an issue, but you know the issue is also far more complex, and there's a lot of nuance to it. But in any case, because of you know the bad press around the relationship between human rights violations and, you know, cobalt mining in particular, going back to about 2016 when Amnesty released a really substantial report on that issue, sort of, you know, landmark report on that issue, that industry has been very sensitive to their supply chains. And now we're starting to see increased sensitivity around lithium, and to some extent around nickel as well. We'd like to see more emphasis on nickel and also the other metals like graphite, manganese, and copper, and, you know, all the other metals that are used in batteries.
But, yeah, I mean, we talk about lithium, but I mean, it is only an example. I mean, it's just easy to say lithium, but there's a whole suite of metals that are critical, right? Yes. And they all suffer from the same kind of extractive, damaging mining and human rights violations and whatnot. So
absolutely. But to answer your question specifically about what are companies doing, there is an initiative called IRMA, the Initiative for Responsible Mining Assurance, which several electric car companies have joined, including the Ford Motor Company recently, as well as BMW and Daimler-Benz. And these companies have joined because they're concerned precisely about these issues. They're concerned about their supply chains. And so the question of recycling is, of course, intimately related to this discussion of sourcing. You know, there's sort of two sides of the same coin, right? One of them is about the beginning of the life of the battery, and the other is sort of about the end of the life of the battery. And ideally, it's a closed loop, circular life cycle, right, where they rejoin. But unfortunately, due to the extremely rapid rate of growth in demand for these metals, you know, recycling, as you know, we mentioned earlier, recycling for lithium, for example, could offset about 25% of that demand. So still 75% of it is projected, assuming there's not other things going on, like reducing private car ownership, for example. Assuming we don't, you know, undertake those policies and things remain business as usual, you're still looking at a huge increase in mining for lithium, which of course we hope, you know, can also be reduced, like I said, by other you know, policy interventions around transportation. But, you know, these companies are concerned about these issues. They are looking at both sides of the coin. But I think the real challenge here is, again, I don't think these issues can be left up to industry on their own. Even if they're concerned, even if they are acting in good faith, the reality is that, you know, as companies that are driven by a profit motive and are beholden to shareholders to generate profit, you know, under the model of a corporation, a publicly traded corporation, their motives will always be profit driven,
right?
And that will be true of, and of course there's issues of competition as well, right? So when one company comes out and decides to do something that's potentially more expensive but better for the environment, for people, they're also you know, risking potential issues around, you know, competition and price competitivity with other companies. And so what really needs to happen is industry-wide transformation. And that can, in my opinion, can only come from regulation on these issues.
And it would seem that the regulation is only going to come from people like the audience to the show asking questions about where these metals are come from when they buy their favorite new electronic device, be it a car or a cell phone or whatever, right? Just to bring it back down, We do need regulations. There's this stuff happening around the world, GM's involved, Tesla's involved, but it all comes down to like a simple question at the point of purchase where the person buying the car says, oh yeah, Mr. Salesman or woman, please tell me about where the metals came from. Are you following some good standard? And that kind of pressure would, I think, be helpful, right? To back up all the.
Absolutely. I mean, reaching out to a company, if you're thinking about buying an electric car, reaching out to them or like you said, to a dealership and asking those questions, I think absolutely helps. Mm-hmm. The more people do it, the better it is, of course. And again, you know, reaching out to elected representatives and talking to them about these issues as well, you know, that it also helps generate some of that pressure.
Absolutely. So if somebody wanted to read up on this report and go to the Earthworks website, tell them, where would they go? Or what would they look for?
Absolutely. Yeah. So you would go to earthworks.org.
Okay.
And you would click on campaigns and then on making clean energy, clean, just, and equitable. And you would find a whole host of materials, including this report on recycling and reducing demand. As well as other reports and materials on the impacts of mining for these metals and some of our proposed solutions.
I mean, I've looked at it. It's clear you guys have been busy, right? There's lots of very detailed reports or very thought-provoking kinds of reports. So it's an interesting read. And, you know, it's not that distant from our everyday life because we're all touched by lithium nowadays. Well, what I'll do, Benjamin, is I'll put the links to some of the stuff we talked about in the blog, right? And so there's a show notes to this posting. It's at massclimateaction.org/blog, where I'll put in the Earthworks link and the link to these reports. They're very interesting. If, dear listener, if you have a question about this podcast or want to make a suggestion for a new show, let us know. Send us an email to podcast@massclimateaction.net. Okay, let us know what we ought to be talking about. You can listen to the show on your smartphone using any of the modern podcast distribution apps on your lithium-powered electronic device. And please ask all your friends to listen to our show on their lithium-powered electronic device. We want to thank our good friend D.R. Tucker for his continuing research support, because he was the one, actually, Benjamin, who sent me the link that said, look, you got to check out this Earthworks website. It's got some interesting stuff. We'll close where we always close, by saying that because we recognize the necessity of personal accountability for our actions, because we accept responsibility for building a durable future, because we believe it's our patriotic duty as citizens to speak out, we have to insist that the United States transform its energy sector over the next decade under a just and equitable plan that uses regulation, investment, and a price on carbon to safeguard our collective future. So, Benjamin, thank you so much for coming to talk today.
Thank you, Ted. I really appreciate it.
Thanks to everyone for listening. We'll talk again soon.
Very cool.